Welcome to the Wisdom from the Top of the World podcast, recorded at the Aspen Chapel.
Rest in peace. I always find it really odd the way that, you know, people say, you know, after someone has died, rest in peace. And sometimes when you look at your social media, you know, it'll say such and such RIP. And that's the first time you ever know that, oh, he's died, has he? You know, so it's almost like RIP, you know, it's like an announcement of death. And I just think it's very strange. You know, what are we thinking of when we say rest in peace? That this person is finally at peace? That they're now in heaven and where they're at peace? I'd like to have that blessing, quite frankly, in my life right now. You know, because, you know, I've got a theory, I mentioned this before, but I've got this theory that really, peace is what everyone's looking for. Really, when it comes down to it, you know, he's got cars, yachts, girls, boys, all that sort of stuff, you know. But really, it's the Lord on the roof here. We've got this new roof, and the only problem is that it's like it's got this snow. It'll slide off when it's snowed. So the thundering is not disapproval of what I'm saying. But everyone's, I think really deep down, we're all looking for peace. You know, when the great artist is doing his great work, in the end, what they want is they want a sense of peace. You know, she's striving for her art in order to create at the end of it that sense of peace. And you know, the driven careerist is looking for peace. You know, and much of what we do in our life is looking for peace. I know it's true in my life. You know, right from the first time I can remember, I can actually remember thinking it. I can remember a desire for peace. I noticed that really everything I did, whether it was nefarious or not, was out of a desire somewhere for peace within me. And I think each of us has different paths towards that peace because each of us has, you know, different challenges that we face in our lives. But when you realize that the drivenness that we all feel towards anything is actually a drivenness towards peace, then, you know, it makes life a lot simpler when you recognize that. I'm really suggesting that the fundamental urge behind all activity is an urge to achieve peace. Whatever the activity it is, it's a personal peace that we're looking for. And, you know, I see that as a state in which peace is a state in which I can be totally relaxed, in which my body, mind, soul, and heart are at ease. It's a state, peace is a state in which I know no fear. Peace is a state of forgiveness. It's a state from which love flows freely. Peace is an inner clarity in which I can perceive the truth. It is a state in which I'm able to tell the truth without fear of judgment or rejection. It is a state where my ego mind is quiet. And it's a state in which I know the essence of my consciousness to be the same essence as that of all conscious beings. Little spritz on peace. Because this now today is the fourth in a series that I'm doing on the subject of being at peace. You might think, well, what else has he said about it? Well, in the first week, we looked at the idea that in order to be at peace, our very being has to be at peace. And then the next week, we looked at the chaos in the world, the lack of peace there, and we explored the way that human consciousness has now evolved to a point where the smartness of our technology is not going to help us as we strive towards a more peaceful world. Our smartness is not going to do us any good anymore. What is needed now is not another technological advancement, but the development of the wisdom to see the true nature of reality and to respond to it appropriately. And it's through ethical, moral, and spiritual development that we'll be able to survive in the planet. And last week we talked of the eternal peace that's at the center of all things. And that eternal peace I was talking about last week is entered into, because eternal is entered into through the present moment. That now, that's always there, the portal to eternity is the present moment. And if that piques your interest, then in the cards in front of you, the red card, you'll be able to see how to get previous episodes, either on podcasts, which you can just listen to it in the car, or just watch them, just the message on YouTube. And if you want to be part of our mailing list, then that's the blue card. So, rest in peace when we die. No thanks. I'd rather have it now. But today we're going to look at, as it is Good Friday, we're going to look at our relationship with death and how we can build peace with that. And just to explain, traditionally, Aspen Chapel, we do Good Friday on the week before, mainly because no one would turn up on a Friday. They'd all be off doing other things, because it's not a holiday here. And also because the Jewish community here in the evening on Good Friday. So I always think that Good Friday trumps Palm Sunday. And that if you're going to have Easter, you've got to have Good Friday. So we therefore have always developed this idea of doing Good Friday the week before, so we don't miss it. So we have a complete Easter experience. And Good Friday, of course, is the story of Jesus' death. And when you look at it, you can see, when you look at Jesus' death, you can see that fundamentally he was at peace with it. He wasn't looking for death. Remember the Garden of Gethsemane? You know, "Father, if it's possible for this cup to be taken from my lips, but not my will, but thy will be done." So he wasn't looking for it. He thought, you know, if I don't have to do this, please, thanks very much. But, you know, I'm willing. He had that peace with him. And you can see that idea of that peace, and it goes across many different religions. You can see it in the Tao Te Ching, in stanza 50, this is what it says. And I think, you know, he's got the Tao Te Ching, and I think it describes that moment with Jesus. He says, in the Tao Te Ching, it says, "The master gives himself up to whatever the moment brings. He knows that he's going to die, and he has nothing left to hold on to, no illusions in his mind, no resistance in his body. He doesn't think about his actions. They flow from the core of his being. He holds nothing back from life. Therefore, he is ready for death, as a man is ready for sleep after a good day's work." I think that peace comes from having given all, freely given all throughout one's life. If one comes from love, you know, giving with no expectation of return, one pours oneself into one's life. And in the end, if we pour oneself into one's life, we are completely spent. All the investment put into us by ourselves, by those around us, by the universe, by our friends, the family, the divine, everything that's been poured into us has been poured out unselfishly with nothing held back. That's where I think the aim is in our living, to live completely and fully. And as a result, we're at peace at the moment of our death because we've given fully. Not holding on for one more thing. You know, "I wish I could just live that little bit longer to make it worthwhile," because we've given everything. Mary Oliver says in her poem, "When death comes like the hungry bear in autumn, when death comes and takes all the bright coins from his purse to buy me and snaps the purse shut, when death comes like measles pox, when death comes like an iceberg between the shoulder blades, I want to step through the door full of curiosity, wondering, what's it going to be like, that cottage of darkness? And therefore, I look upon everything as a brotherhood and a sisterhood. And I look upon time as no more than an idea. And I consider eternity another possibility. And I think of each life as a flower. as common as a field daisy and as singular. And each name a comfortable music in the mouth, tending, as with all music does, towards silence. And each body a line of courage and something precious to the earth. When it's over, I want to say all my life, I was a bride married to amazement. I was the bridegroom taking the world into my arms. When it's over, I don't want to wonder if I've made my life something particular and real. I don't want to find myself sighing or frightened or full of argument. I don't want to end up simply having visited the world. Jesus was totally spent at his moment of death. And it was through the way he lived his life fully that he was able to die at peace. I think that every moment that we live is a preparation for the moment that we die. Every moment we live is a preparation for the moment we die. And to die in peace, we have to be willing to die to each moment of our lives, to continually let go, not holding on. As it says in that Tao Te Ching passage, he holds nothing back from life. Therefore, he is ready for death. It's a continual process of letting go. And letting go and staying in that portal of the present moment that leads to eternal life. We enter into that portal now. Literally. As we look at each other, what we're looking at is that portal, that now that never goes away. There's you're never in the future, you're never in the past. You're always here right now. And this is the portal to eternity. If we could just go and go into it, that's it. This is the portal to eternity. How do life is, into it. The trick is to let go of everything that takes us out of that portal, so that when death finally comes, we just let go again in the way that we've always let go. It's just another letting go. If we can just let go, let go, let go, then when death comes, as a part of our life, we're familiar with it. As Jesus said, it is finished. You know, the thing that strikes me about the crucifixion, and this struck me when I was thinking about the crucifixion, the crucifixion, just think about it. It's a living death. Everything in our lives, we think, I can get through this. You know, there's something on the other side. There's light at the end of the tunnel. You know, Christmas is coming, or it's going to be a birthday, or they're coming back from college, whatever it is. There's nothing like that crucifixion. The only thing, as apart from pain, at the end of it is death. It's just pain and death. Just imagine you're in terrible pain and there's no relief in sight except death. You're in pain and then you die. So death in crucifixion, not I've done it myself, but if you think about it, death is the absolute focus. There is no other destination, no relief, no break, no inevitability of something else. There's just death at the end of it all. And so it becomes a meditation. The crucifixion is actually a meditation on pain. And it's a meditation in pain. And while Jesus is on the cross, his being is focused on pain and on death at the end of it. And you can see the way his mind moves. There are traditionally seven sentences from the cross. You've probably heard about this. The seven words of Jesus from the cross. And the seven words are, "Father, forgive them, they know not what they do. Today thou shalt be with me in paradise. Woman, behold thy son, behold thy mother. My God, why have you forsaken me? I thirst, it is finished. Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit." Those are the seven words from the cross. And they show the state of Jesus' mind as he's moving towards death. And he's in that pain. "Father, forgive them, they know not what they do." He's concerned about those who put him in this situation. He's thinking outside himself. "Today thou shalt be with me in paradise." Again, he's concerned about those who are sharing his fate. Woman, behold thy son, behold thy mother. He's concerned about his family and his friends. He's organizing his family and friends. So this is how we're going to be afterwards. You know, his attention is out. My God, why have you forsaken me? You know, he's concerned about himself. I thirst. He's aware of the pain he's in. It is finished. And that he stayed true to the end. Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And in that death, he's at peace. That is the sort of flow of how he's living through the journey towards death. And there is a peace there in all that, those ideas, because he's at peace with his death. There's a peace because there is no one else to go except death, no good ideas or ways of avoiding it. And of course, it's also a metaphor for how we live our lives. We think there are plenty of ups and downs before we die, and so we look for the ups and we try to get to them, and we want to push away the downs. We resist the pain and upset of our troubles. We embrace hopes and plans that will ensure that we have plenty of ups before the down, the ultimate down of death. Bad events remind us of death, and so we sort of try and avoid them. We're upset when they happen. And if they are an unfortunate incident, you know, we think of them as an unfortunate incident, these downs, that possibly could have been avoided. But in reality, we are actually all in the same space as the crucifixion. Death is before us and is always there. Our resistance to a bad event or a circumstance that's happening, something we don't like, is equivalent to our resistance to death. If we see these bad events as actually something happening within the journey towards death, then those events are opportunities to practice dying. If we have the context of death, then as things come along, we can actually practice that dying through these events that are happening. We're going on in our life, and then suddenly, you know, we get a diagnosis, there's a car crash, financial crisis, you know, all those things that we go, oh, you know, just don't want those things. Our immediate reaction is one of suffering, of resentment that this is happening, of wishing it had not happened, of resenting the disruption and the energy that it takes to deal with the situation. We're depressed by the whole episode. But seen in the context of death, most of them are actually nothing. Our death looms so much larger than these inconveniences. And so the inconvenience becomes contextualized within our death, and we let go of all the anger and frustration around it, and so prepare for our ultimate death just a little bit by allowing ourselves to die or to let go into these inconveniences of whatever the present crisis is. To be with them as if they were a part of death coming towards us through our ups and downs of life. That is how we do it. And just as in the crucifixion, the knowledge of our death brings us peace because there is nowhere else to go. Jim Morrison's famous phrase, no one here gets out alive. And we're there. I noticed that in the context of my deaths, you know, the events that have happened in my life, they're not so bad at all. They're certainly not as bad as death itself might be, and they do give me the opportunity to give up to them, as in the end, I will be asked to give up at my death. So they are, in fact, all these little things are a preparation for death. If we live our lives in the way that Jesus lived the crucifixion, we don't resist, so our attention can be on what's important. Not trying to resist, but looking after others, looking after our needs, being aware of the contribution we're making in life, being at peace with our end. So to walk with death as a companion is to live freely and peacefully. We walk alongside our ultimate end. And so all things are seen through the perspective of that gaze, and that does bring peace. Try it yourself. You can try it as you live your life day to day. Recognizing your end as being a context for everything that happens to you, and therefore being at peace when so-called bad things happen, because they're not final. And because in letting go of our resistance to them, we're actually practicing ultimately letting go as to what's going to happen to us at the end. Now, the other way you can do it, you don't have to have bad events happen to do it. You can practice it in a meditation practice. Meditation really is a practice in death. Because in meditation, there's nowhere else to go. All roads lead to letting go into the present moment. All thoughts, good ideas, pain, resistance, wishing for it to end, they all have to be let go of as you return to the present moment in meditation. We let go of everything, including, most importantly of all, our identities. We've got to let go of our good ideas about ourselves and what we're doing and everything that's happening in our lives and who we are. In death, that's the one thing we don't want to let go of. I mean, we all know, yes, you're going to carry on in the world. Yes, you're going to be atoms that are going to be in a tree and they're going to grow. And yes, the energy is going to be that you put in the world is still going to be there. But our mind goes, but what about me? What about me, my thoughts, my mind, my identity? Where's that going to go? That's what we don't want to let go of. That's the fear. The wonderfulness of who we think we are in our minds. It's our minds that fear death because they know somewhere that that identity is going. We have to let go of that personal identity in death. And in meditation, we also have to let go of that. All our thoughts, we just have to come back all the time. And it is the same sort of death. That's why I think it's so similar. It's the same sort of thing because it's about being with that nothing. And in death, again, we're being with that nothing. We are practicing death in meditation. There is no other end than being in the present moment. And therefore, we're continually letting go of everything that's stopping us being there. You cannot fully live a life at peace until you embrace death in the same way that someone embraces death on the cross, because there is nowhere else to go. There is nowhere else to go. And when you realize that, then there is, when you realize that, when you do get that, and it's a practical thing, when you actually get yourself into that place, there is an immediate sense of peace. It overwhelms you. We arrive at our end, and so we're able to live our lives to the full. That's what you do. You arrive at your end. T.S. Eliot famously said, "What we call the beginning is often the end. And to make an end is to make a beginning. The end is where we start from." That's what he means. We start from giving up. Jesus shows us on the cross how to die. I'm nearly at the end, so you can give up now. Jesus, most of you have just been giving up throughout what I've been talking about, haven't you? He's not going to end. I know he's going to go on forever. I'm going to give up to that. That's how you do it. Jesus shows it on the cross how to die and also how to live. We're to live out, we're to live out of our knowledge of death. Then we'll have a peace that cannot be shaken by anything, because it's a peace rooted in the eternal. It is a peace that contains death and therefore can transcend death. The peace contains death and therefore can transcend death. Jesus models this in that moment of extremis, and as in so many other ways, shows us what is possible in living a good life and a good death. Rest in peace is not something we do at the end of our lives. It is something that's available to us right now. And our ability to rest in peace as we live gives us the ability to rest in peace as we die. while we're connected to death, we're open to life. So we always just have an opportunity to reflect, have a conversation, maybe say something, share an experience, ask a question, or just be in silence, depending on... Camille, yeah, would you like to say anything?
This was a good one today. Had a lot of information in there along the lines of what I work with incarnates, ghosts, lifting them. I'm a paranormal professional. Also, as a past life regressionist with my hypnotherapy, the last thought you have on your mind sets up your next life. When you start to consider that, and maybe some of you have explored some of your past lives, you'll see that each time you roll over, the energy of dropping this human body, your soul goes on, and you have the next play to get into. Peace sounds boring to me. I like the word completion. And incarnates are souls that have not completed what they wanted to get done here. So it's like, people, get your stuff done. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Camille. Anybody else? Yes, Bill. Thank you, Bill.
Thank you for today. One thing that comes to mind is my daughter Hillary has enrolled me in a course that contains a lot of Sufi wisdom.
Yeah.
And one of the Sufi poets and singers is Yunus Emre. And Yunus says, "I didn't come here to stay."
Do you want to say anything about that? You're more Sufi than me.
Oh, I love Sufi stuff. Yeah, no, I love that. And also what you were saying, but I wanted to respond actually to the peace bit. To me, peace is just so vital and so full of aliveness and joy. And yeah, so I'm interested in that. Like, it's, words are very personal, aren't they? They mean different things to different people, but anybody else would like to say something?
Yeah, well, Tracy, I love it. I'm not here to stay. Fantastic. Well, none of us are. And we need to realize that when we look at our planet as well. None of, you know, yeah.
No, I just think it's interesting to think of you, the ego, not wanting to die, and there's so many more things I want to do, but also there's the codependence of the people in your life that you feel like they can't make it without me, or, you know, they'll never be able to survive. And yes, maybe you've made that case be true, but... it's just an interesting way to think about not wanting to go because of that.
Yes, yes, that's right. That's right. And Andy?
I came across this quote about the afterlife the other day, and it seems appropriate. Your life where you couldn't move with the things from here because when you left, they lost the value they had. Body, beauty, appearance, last name, comfort, credit, state, position, bank account, home, car, profession, titles, diplomas, medals, trophies, friends, places, spouse, family. In your new life, you will only need your spirit, and the value you have accumulated here will be the only fortune you will have there. That fortune is the only one you will take with you, and it is amassed during your time, during the time you are here. When you live a life of love for others and peace with your neighbors, you are amassing your spiritual fortune.
Thank you, Andy. That's great. Barbara, over here. Thank you, Barbara.
Thank you for this message. It's great. What occurs to me is that between pain and death, there's one other step, and it's kind of our choice. We can resist it, which creates more pain, or we can accept.
Yes.
And that acceptance piece is so important. And the acceptance isn't necessarily giving up. It's acknowledging and accepting what is so that you can move more freely to that death piece.
Yeah. I mean, I have actually found that, you know, in my life. I mean, I find it, and this came out of, I wrote a completely different, not quite, but almost different. I just realized that things were coming at me quite a bit. There were, you know, when you've got kids, they come at you all the time, as you know. And I always felt winded by things that happened to me. You know, when something comes, something, oh, God, you know. And Heather will know, you know, I go around, oh, you know, like that. And I suddenly looked at that and I thought, you know, why am I being winded all the time? And I realized that there wasn't that acceptance there. And when I actually saw that in the context of death, it made a huge difference to not being overwhelmed by it and just to live through it as being some sort of preparation. And I think acceptance is a lovely word. That's lovely. Yeah. Somebody else. Yes, Paul.
Of course, the reason Jesus died was to forgive the sins of everybody.
Yeah.
Whatever issues you have, whatever you've done, God will forgive them, and that's going to give you peace.
Yeah, yeah, that's right. Yeah, I think that sense of forgiveness is so important. Thank you, Paul. Anybody else? I always feel like an auctioneer. I want to say, going. Eric, thank you. Eric would be good at auctions. I can always tell. He'd hold out to the last moment, you know. How much for this, Andy?
Yes, I'd like to raise 100.
Yes. Well, that comes on to the next bit, actually, but never mind.
Well, I've survived two different terminal diagnoses.
Right.
And for me, just being here is really extra. And I have a hard time trying to explain that to other people, but I think the best explanation I've heard is from the Mexican practice of the Day of the Dead, which is you need to laugh at death, and if you can't laugh at death, death laughs at you.
Yeah, thank you. Good. If you feel moved to make a donation to the chapel, please go to aspenchapel.org. Thank you. And if you'd like to receive these podcasts regularly, subscribe to the Aspen Chapel through Apple, Google Play, YouTube, or any other outlet.